everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What's happening there, Drew? Oh, well, turns out your mic wasn't on anyway. Not that Drew was talking for the 10 seconds of dead air that his mic wasn't on. Well, his mic's not working. That's better yet. We're almost done with the show. Anderson, don't bother. I'll just wrap it up. I'll just take one more call. Alright, listen, don't talk to Anderson during the mic, you know, through the mic that doesn't work though, Drew. It's distracting to me. Don't talk to me either. Don't say anything. Right, no talking, Drew. I'm gonna take some calls. You don't talk, okay? Well, there you go. You're talking about not talking. Okay, no talking, Drew.
We're a well-oiled machine over here. It's funny, I was driving in my car today thinking how horrible this show was while I was driving. Not how horrible it is, but just how unprofessional it is, perhaps. You ever think about that, Drew? Just nod your head. Nod your head. Yes, you do? Okay. And, you know, how we're partially to blame. Yes? Not? No? Oh, we're not to blame. Okay. Let's go to the phone. So, Lisa. Lisa?
Hey.
Hey, you're 16. Drew's mic doesn't work.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so you are what they call ass out of luck.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to answer your question tonight.
Oh.
So what's up?
Great. Well, I was taking the advice that you seem to give everyone. I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not going to tell my parents.
Right.
Because that's what you guys tell everybody.
That's right.
But.
Uh-oh.
My dad was looking for something or other that I had. And he found
your
book.
Golf Digest?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Anderson, you want to bring some pans and pots in here that you can just throw around? Oh, we got a cowbell? That'll do. All right, so your dad was looking through your room, and what did he find?
He found a bunch of books I have on gay rights and things.
Uh-huh.
And
you tell him it was for a project at school.
Yeah, well, I went through that for a little while, but he unleashed a folder full of clippings I had, and I had, like, numbers for a local support group.
All righty. And so he knows you're lesbo now, right?
Yeah, and he told my mom, and they're freaking out.
Yeah. Do you like your dad?
No.
Shocking.
I
Drew,
know.
You're missing a good call.
I'm listening.
I had a feeling you didn't like your dad.
No, I really, really, really don't like
Well,
my dad.
Good. You found a way for him to find out you were lesbian without actually feeling like you did it on purpose, even though you probably did it subconsciously.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's possible.
Well, here's what I'm saying. You're a smart person. Man, you certainly are for 16. Especially, sound like you're in your, you know, third year of med school or something. But, oh boy, now we're going for it. It's very confusing here because Anderson is running all over the studio trying to give Drew new microphones and none of them will work. But you're angry at your dad. You wanted to find a way. All right, Drew, please be quiet. You wanted to find a way to let him know you're a lesbian without actually telling him you're a lesbian because you didn't want to go against our good advice. So you left a bunch of literature around. You know he's sort of suspicious. He found it. Now he knows. And it's sort of mission accomplished. But where do you want to go from here?
Well, he won't let me see. Like, all my girlfriends are now
almost
absolutely suspect.
Hold on, Drew. Drew's mic is slowly warming up. Yeah,
hey.
We have to wait for the tubes to start to heat up in the back room there over here at Westwood Nun, as we like to call it. All right, so now your dad found out, and what's he? He freaked on you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not like my parents aren't like morally opposed to homosexuality. It's just that their kids aren't.
Right. Yeah. So, sure. That's how everyone is.
It's good for other people's kids, just not mine.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
it's okay.
Are you sure you're gay and not just mad at your dad? Because that's a very different thing, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
At 16, how do you know what you are?
Well, I know I'm not attracted to guys, and I know I do have an attraction to
girls. But all women have attracted to women, you know what I mean? She hates guys, so she's no attraction there.
I don't hate guys.
Yeah, but listen, whether you're attracted to women because you're actually attracted to women or you're attracted to women because you hate your dad's guts, what's attraction anyway, Drew?
Right.
Attraction is just attraction, and it gets caused by all sorts of bizarre things that just come out in the form of attraction.
All right, okay.
You know,
that.
So that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So what's your dad doing?
Well, I have this one friend who's bisexual who is, like, just totally cutting me off from.
Yeah.
Even though it's like...
Why do you hate him so much, your dad?
He's a prick.
I know, but what'd he do to you?
Yeah, well,
He's just... I actually feel bad about hating him so much just because everyone who calls this show has so much more reason to hate their dad. It's just that mine's just... My dad's just a prick.
Yeah,
he's a redneck prick.
Oh. Redneck, huh?
Yeah, he's from Texas, and he's just like... Eh.
But he makes money and stuff, right?
Yeah.
He's not like hillbilly type.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
Yeah, he's a professional prick.
Yeah, he's a psychologist, and I'm trying to figure out how...
They're the worst people.
Someone who's trained to be a psychologist can have so little...
Yeah, I know. I know. You're one of these people. You're like me. You hate your parents. You have no good reason to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't hate my mom. My mom's cool.
It's a nice pastime. You'll hate her later. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. There it is.
Testing. There we are.
Jesus Christ, you guys are not ninja material at all with your clumping and your banging. You know what drives me nuts, Drew?
Everything drives you nuts, Adam.
Yes.
I know that, what am I going to do?
You have zero concept of it. Do you set the mic down?
Yes.
You just set it down, just clump it down every time, never think about it. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how that happens.
I don't know how your brain operates in a way when every little moth flying by, the pitter-patter of his wings make you want to
explode.
Don't
know how you can set that coffee mug down, clump. Every single time. All right. Then punches the mic. Listen, I'm done with this, Lisa. She's a lesbian. She hates her dad.
What's
her dad's
do?
A doctor.
They know now. What,
good.
That's
She'll be
comes.
Angry for the rest of her life.
But she has support groups. She's got literature on it. She's taking care of herself.
Oh, she's not even that interested in the lesbian part of being a lesbian.
That's what my sense was, too, by the way. But she seems very smart, and she seems okay with all this.
Yes. Yeah. Look. You'll go off to some girls' college in San Francisco and lead a nice, angry life.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right. And it'll be one of these... crazy irony things that you'll be rich and you'll have a good life. You'll just be angry your whole life.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Sounds good.
You got that to look forward to.
Wait. I didn't get to say this because Drew's mic wasn't working, but I don't think you get nearly enough credit.
Me. Thank you, Lisa.
Nearly enough.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
God bless you.
He's known as a smart one, for Christ's sake. Gwen?
Hi.
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've never had a boyfriend or been on a date or been kissed or any of that kind of stuff. And, I was just wondering, I wanted to know what your opinion would be like.
You're fat.
Drew, please.
Hey.
Whoa. You don't know that.
Gwen, give us some hints. Do you live in a place where there are no men?
No.
Do men not talk to you?
They talk to me, just regular, conversation and stuff like that.
24. Never had a tongue in your mouth?
No.
Never had a date?
No.
Is there some reason for that? Help us.
Well, I was sexually molested when I was a child.
No, it's got to be something else.
I guess they call it social anxiety disorder.
Okay, so why did you get that treated?
Well, I don't really have enough money to go see anybody.
All right, this isn't kind of adding up for me, because people with molestation start looking for ways to handle those feelings and the post-traumatic stress and everything that goes with that. And you're sort of not. You're not doing drugs, are you?
No.
How are you doing physically?
I am a little overweight.
Well, I was going to say, that's the other thing that people do, is they isolate in a way by pushing others away from them, by insulating themselves with a large body, so no one comes at them, no one's attracted to them.
Yeah, they're not desirable.
You're overweight. Also, it physically keeps people away.
This is the strategy with the hair on the ass for the gays.
And you?
That's what I'm saying. It repels the gays.
Oh, no. No, I'm not.
Oh, yes.
No, I don't.
You've seen
those bear magazines.
Yes, but I have not found a gay man who can penetrate my fortress of hair yet.
It's not the... They can't find the...
They can't find Santa's mouth. Okay, so Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get some help for the molestation stuff, and, this other stuff will start to fall by the wayside.
Could you?
I don't think about the molestation anymore.
You just act like you've been molested. You don't think about it.
It's a part of you.
I know, but it's like, what I feel like is a 12-year-old trapped in a 24-year-old's body. Because I have no clue how to, interact with men. I can talk.
No, you don't have to do anything but show up and drink a few wine coolers. Please. I love when women say this. I don't know what to say. I say nothing. Just hold still. Wait, hold on, Drew. It's amazing to you that Have you ever required anything from a woman? Seriously. Close your eyes. I mean,
well, yeah, actually, I like the ones that keep talking because then nothing is required of me.
Well, think about this, Drew. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, before marriage.
Yeah.
Did you ever, on all your picking up women, meeting a woman at a party, meeting one at anywhere, did you ever need her to really do anything except for be receptive?
Receptive.
And just to sort of stand there and say yes?
You need receptivity.
Yes. And when you said, hey, could I have your phone number? You needed them to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's nothing they needed to do. After then marriage, weigh the amount of things you've said to your wife, things you've needed from her, as opposed to the times she's needed things from you or needed you to do something. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
How many times have you gone to a woman and said, you're not doing enough blank for me, or here's where you're coming up short for me?
A little bit of that.
You do that?
I do that.
Oh, man. You're a chick. I don't believe I've ever told a woman, here's what I need more of.
Yeah.
That, I mean, other than, like, oral. I don't think I've ever had a conversation about what they're not doing for
me. That's what I'm talking about.
No, you're talking about oral. That's smart.
Yeah.
No, but it's got to be a billion to one is the amount of times that they've come up to you and go, here's what you're not doing for me. I love that. That's great. We've got a great gene. Hey, Gwen.
Uh-huh.
You get, who molested you?
A woman and a man.
Whoa.
How old were you?
The first time, probably...
12.
Five.
Woman, man, separately, or did they...
It was two different incidents.
Hmm. Two different ones, huh? And were they family members?
No, they were friends of the family.
Hmm. Huh. God, that is weird. And they didn't know each other either?
No. It was, like, years apart. I was probably, like, nine the second time.
Give your dad a good swift kick in the nuts from me, and give your mom a good sock in the boob for picking two friends, male and female, years apart, who would molest their kid.
Yeah.
Hey, your parents are got to be just world class a holes.
Why? I mean, they are oblivious. They never ask me. Well, they kind of make fun of me because I don't date, but.
But imagine you bring home, imagine how screwed up your radar dish is. You're bringing home two friends.
Each of you bring one home.
One of each gender, and they both have at your daughter?
Yeah.
That's awful.
All right. Are you able to work and take care of your life and everything?
Well, it's just now kind of coming together. I kind of have a, what do you call it, self-destruction mode kind of thing.
All right.
Where, paying the bills and things like that is...
Yeah, not a priority?
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. Hey, you got to get one of the money managers, though.
Yeah.
You can pay them like $1,200 a month, but they take care of all the bills. It's great. Hey, Gwen?
Uh-huh.
All right, you need some therapy, baby. That's it, because we shouldn't even discuss dating.
Yeah, and maybe even just some medication for the social anxiety so you can function socially.
Right. So where should she start?
The other thing we can advise her to do is just go out there and begin trying to date. Just meet
yeah, but you know, she's going to hook up with some
abusive a-hole. Yeah.
Some alcoholic guy. Next thing you know, she's going to have one of those kind of gimp ball gags in her mouth and be in some basement somewhere.
All right.
Okay. It's an interesting twist on the mic punching you just did there, Drew. It's the bass whack. I don't know, you're under stress tonight. Lisa?
Yeah.
You're 24?
I am. The reason why I'm calling is because I've been dating my boyfriend for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in just about the last year, whenever we sleep together, I think about women. Like, I'm fantasizing about women while we're having sex.
Mm-hmm. You ever had anything like that before?
I'm sorry?
You ever had anything like that before?
Never.
Never. What do you think about it?
I mean, I think about, like, doing nasty things with women.
And what do you think that's all about?
I don't know. That's the whole problem is that I can't... I mean, I've heard you say that women will come up with that kind of fantasy because of pornography.
You're a lesbian.
Fair point.
No, do you want to do that?
Well, I don't... I mean, my desires are telling me yes, but I've never... I mean, this is something that's new to me. I'm 24. I mean, I thought these things would have come up before.
Right.
I mean, I've been dating men since...
No. That's, listen, so then how is this relationship going with this guy?
Great. I mean, we've been together for 3 years, but I mean, he's not the man I want to marry. But he's
one of the things. Ooh,
he's what?
Her best friend.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not good.
But I'm leaving the state.
I'll tell you, one of the things we have seen repeatedly is that women who really do care about their partners, but really aren't in love with them and can't quite come to terms with that, Rather than fantasizing about being with men, which it becomes too threatening to them, start fantasizing about being with women.
We do? That, that's what we found out?
I've seen that several times.
Hmm. I don't know we knew that.
Forget these things, Adam. But
well,
I
it keeps the show fresh. I go home, have a bong load, and do the same show all over again the next day, and everything's just as fresh as it was.
Meaning to talk to you about that. But the repetitive stuff about whacking the mic. Anyway.
you punch the mic every show. Please.
It just seems
you know
that way. Mike, every show is a new show
you know
for you.
You know what that mic is for you? You know at the beginning of the Notre Dame football games?
Yeah.
There's a sign in front of the cement stairs that leave the locker room that says play like champions. And each player that goes down the stairs and enters the field, that's what that is. They whack that sign.
Yeah, so every 20
that's
segment.
What the mic is for you. Every show, pow.
Every segment. Anyway, Lisa.
Yeah.
So the fact is, it's probably more that this is relationship is wrapping up and you have some needs that aren't getting met here in terms of what you need from intimacy, and it's safer to think about women than men right now for some reason.
Well, so our breaking up is kind of inevitable. I'm leaving the state.
I know, and you're kind of riding it out in the meantime when, in fact, you ought to just get on with it. And get
well, she's leaving. When are you leaving?
Probably like 3 months. So my question was, is, you know, when I start entering the dating pool again, should I be looking for women?
You get broken up first and then see what your feelings are. I predict that suddenly these same-sex feelings will be sort of dwarfed by your attractions for men. If not, you start dating women. But
it is
peculiar that it would surface at 24.
What about this theory, Drew, the up the ante theory that
I beg your pardon?
Up your ante, you son of a... The up the ante theory I have, which is you're already having sex, so what are you going to think about?
Addicts do that. I don't know if she's an addict.
It's got to be even... Like, when you're not having sex, you're just having at yourself, or you're sitting at your desk, you're fantasizing about sex. Now you're actually inside a human being. Now what do you think about? Well, you got to think about something sexier than sex, so you've moved on to something sort of taboo.
But most people don't do that when they need higher...
No, I know they don't. I mean, that's stupid.
When people need higher levels of thrill, it's a certain circumstance.
Really? Lisa?
Yeah.
You're not...
alcoholic?
No.
Okay.
No, but I would kind of like to throw it into the pool that when I am masturbating, I fantasize about women as well.
No. All right. Well,
you always have always done that?
No. Same thing. You know, the last year.
A lesbian.
Or so.
Just get broken up and see how you feel.
Well, she's fantasizing and masturbating about it. Then she may be heading that direction. Drew, you don't do that. You don't up that ante.
No.
Huh. Yeah. I don't.
It's all pizza.
Really? Really? Drew, because that's the mark of a passionate man there.
Is upping the ante?
No, not upping the ante. You're having sex. What do you need to think about? Focus on having sex. I got to get a couple steps ahead of my penis. Mentally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were just thinking about rebuilding engines and all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah. No, I don't want to think about engines. It'd be like... Oh, look at that straight six with the 24 valves and the dual up. Oh, sorry, baby. Eddie?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
All right. You're on the radio?
Yes, well.
Mm-hmm. Did we catch you at a bad time?
Oh, no. No, I almost bugged me earlier, but...
I see.
The question is if I masturbate too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you need to tell us how much you're masturbating.
It's usually about 14 or 21 times a week.
Twice a day.
Yeah.
2 to 3 times a day.
This sounds bogus to me, except for it's not delivered. Do you know what I mean? This, if we read a transcript of this call, would be bogus, but the delivery is so god-awful that it just can't be a bogus call.
And twice a day is not horrible, not terribly unusual, right?
No.
I mean, so there you go. You're
right. You're right in the average range there, Eddie.
Right.
So don't worry about it.
Okay, thanks.
You have a lock on your bedroom door?
No.
Mm-hmm. You may want to look into that. Just to make sure no one walks
whatever.
In.
Whatever.
You do the shower whack?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. You're not just being agreeable. You actually do beat off in the shower.
Yeah.
Smart.
I wonder how many millions of gallons are wasted each year by teenagers beating off either inside of the shower or turning the shower on and squeeze one off while they're, you know, on the pot or something, you know, just whatever so the folks won't hear it. What do you think, Drew?
Oh, definitely millions.
I'd say it's into the billions.
Yeah, possibly. Cubic, yeah, billions.
We probably feed the world with the surplus water that if we could channel it toward crops in the third world.
When, oh, yeah.
This is a PSA I'd like to get involved with.
The whenever you talk about showers, I just think about that story with Jimmy and you hopping in the shower after him.
Oh, when Jimmy beat off in the shower?
Yeah. The slow drain.
I'm glad you brought this up. We were in Seattle for the Final Four with the K-Rock, local mother station out here. When K-Rock was going up there, the morning show, because UCLA was in the Final Four. This must have been 96, maybe 95? Whenever UCLA was in the Final Four, and it was played at the Superdome, I believe, in Seattle. We went up there about 6 years ago for a whole week of broadcasting following the UCLA Bruins. Naturally, since K-Rock sent us up there, we flew in the world's crappiest airline and stayed in a motel. Not hotel. Motel. That was about 35 miles outside of Seattle. Yeah. Let me tell you guys something about radio and accommodations. You do the worst all the time, every time, if it's up to them.
It's like willful. Thought out to be the worst.
Yeah, when we went to New York, we flew Tower Air. Now, a coach on American or United was the same price, but we flew the one that had the 747 with all the seats taken out of first class, 500 people on a 747, and no terminal, a bus that you had to take to the plane, which took about 4 hours to load the 500 people along with the farm animals onto the plane. Yeah, no, it's oppressive. It's there to let everyone who's working for the radio station know who the boss is. That's how radio works. So we stayed in Seattle. We stayed at a motel, and I'm talking about the kind of motel that when cars pull up into the parking lot at night, their headlights illuminate your room.
Right.
That kind of motel. Right. And we're on the first floor, and naturally, Jimmy and I could not have our own room. Because this place must have been $26 a night, possibly $28 during peak season. So there's no way you're going to float that. I mean, this is times 4 days. So, you know, it starts to add up. Before you know it, you're at $80. So Jimmy and I had to stay in the same room. And because this was, I don't even know, I wouldn't even consider this to be, this was not in Seattle. It was 30 miles out of Seattle. We would have to get up at 4:15 in the morning in order to, you know, make it out to Seattle and do our show every day. And Jimmy and I stay in the same room. So, you know, we're strip club till 1:30 that night. And, of course, the alarm goes off at 4 a.m. And Jimmy hits the shower, and he hits it first. And because it's a dump, it's one of those tubs that don't drain. You know, the shower's over the tub. The tub gets filled up with the shower water. And by the time he hustles out of the bathroom and we're running late, we're on the move, we got a morning show to do, I jump into the shower, and there's probably hair in there from truckers that have killed thousands of hookers, you know, over the course of the last 30 years, and the water's not draining properly. And there's about 9 to 11 inches of water at the bottom of the tub as I hop into it.
It's mid-calf.
If I was to wait for it to drain, I would have missed the morning show. Right. Your only other choice is bucketing it out. And who the hell cares? I'm a slob. So I get in there. I fire up the shower. I'm in there. I'm getting it on. And Jimmy bangs on the door and yells, watch out, I jacked off.
By the way, what was his intent with that? Watch out, you're standing like we might get you.
I think he was genuinely concerned.
I think he was concerned. Tell by the little delay there and the conscience that finally registered. Mm-hmm. He had to come and make sure that you watched out.
Yeah, he wanted me to watch out.
Something
he wanted
stuck
me
to you or
hit an iceberg.
Yeah, right.
And let me tell you, I have fairly hairy calves.
Oh.
And shins. So if something would have made contact, it could possibly still be there. possibly. I'm not saying a big loogie size chunk there, but I'm sure if a forensic, you know, if I was killed in some horrible accident and there was a foul play and some DNA expert was combing over my body, they would probably find some of Jimmy's 1995 Seattle jizz on my chin. No doubt about that.
Crusty DNA, yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right there, Drew.
All righty.
How about we get back to them phones?
Excited.
Save the world. Aaron?
Yeah?
You're 16?
I am indeed.
What's up there, Brainiac?
Not too much. What about you?
Oh, just chilling.
Right on.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. I have a question about drug testing.
Oh. Oh, your mom just caught that one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just the drug testing part.
Yeah.
The question about drug testing is quite a bit of people have told me that if you put a few drops of bleach in a glass of water and drink it prior to taking the test, you come out clean. And I just want to know if that's true, because I don't believe it.
I don't think that's the case. So what people do, in fact, do, though, is they put a little bleach under their fingernails and flick it into the urine cup.
Uh-huh.
When they're being tested, and that can alter the drug test. But
uh-huh.
Here's what you need to know,
uh-huh.
is that those of us that are in our job is to screen to see if people are using drugs,
uh-huh.
learn how to test for adulterating agents, to see if to test for their evidence that you've been monkeying with the test. And if there's any evidence of the urine being non-physiologic,
mm-hmm.
that's a positive test, whether we find drugs or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, I mean, that's...
Don't monkey with it.
That's, you consider that a sign of guilt?
Huh?
That's a positive test, yeah. Adulterated is positive.
Well, okay. Oh, listen, Aaron, drink a gallon of bleach and play it safe. For Christ's
sake. Oh, no, that's nasty. I've done that before. It wasn't a gallon, though.
What?
I've taken a capful of bleach. I've tried it before.
Why?
Because, I don't know, I was just curious and I was bored. No.
Wait. You were curious and you were bored? Are you serious?
Yeah, well, I it was a long time ago, and I was all, like, worried back then, and I tried it. And
you trying to kill yourself?
No, he's trying to
work on his urine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did it work?
It was the worst thing I ever did, and it was the dumbest thing I ever did.
Good.
Yeah, I had a patient do something like that, end up needing to have his esophagus replaced with his colon.
Nasty.
Isn't that nice? They had to flip his colon up there to give him something, a tube to...
What did he do, try to clean up his urine?
No, he was trying to kill himself.
Oh, he was trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
Well, that's noble.
Thank you.
It wasn't like he was... Oh, Drew, no way. No way you eating that Twix.
No, right now. But well, it'll sit here for both of us.
So okay, yeah. let me figure something out, Drew.
Yeah.
If you find a urine sample that's been adulterated or corrupted with some substance other than something you would find in urine, that is a positive test.
I'm not what they call a medical review officer, but in my review of urines, I consider it positive.
Well, you would say, we don't know what this person is on because...
But he's screwing with this.
But he's screwing with it,
yeah.
Which implies a certain degree of guilt,
yeah.
And he's going to have to take it again. To find out what he's on.
Or not. You just don't get the job if it's a job screen.
Okay. All right. How about what I'll do is I'll put like a semen floater on top.
A Jimmy Jizz?
Yeah, just with a call to head. They can blow it off like a old-time root beer.
Seattle version or New England?
A little Seattle floater, I call it. Yeah. Yeah. I'll go ahead and urine. I'll fill the glass with urine about three-quarters away, and then the rest will be all Jimmy semen.
Jimmy Jizz.
Yeah, Seattle Jimmy Jizz. Anna?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm having some unusual medical problems, and I'm curious if they could be any sort of drug side effects.
What's happening?
I woke up Saturday morning, and I thought it was my eyelid at first was swollen,
mm-hmm.
and now I think it's my actual eyeball.
No, it's got to be the eyelid, or at least what's around the eye.
Okay.
Is your eye protruding out? Like it's coming out of the socket?
No, I was kind of feeling on both of my eyes, and it sticks out farther than the other eye, and that's not normal.
The one eye sticks out farther?
Yes.
Well, that is usually
means you've seen a ghost, right?
No, it's usually called Graves' exophthalmos. That's the most common reason for that. You need to get that looked into. It's often caused by an immune attack on the muscles that operate the eye, and these muscles swell up and it pushes the eye forward. If you look in the mirror, is the sort of white part above the iris showing? You know what I'm saying?
No, actually, it looks like my eye is swollen shut. It's not like all the way swollen shut, but compared to the other eye, you can see less of my right eye.
Oh, well, so it doesn't sound like your yeah. eyeball being pushed forward.
No.
I can feel more of it than I can my other eye.
No.
It's like it's up higher.
Yeah.
So you don't think that's a side effect from my drug?
What drugs you doing? And what's going on in the background there, goofball?
There's nothing, unless you hear my bed squeaking.
No, wait, let's hear. Be quiet for a second.
Unless it's the radio, which is down really low, so I don't think it's that.
Yes. Liar, whore, you know it!
That's right. Radio. Turn that radio down.
Okay, hold on.
All right, hold on. Right, you hang on for a minute.
No, you hold on.
Yeah,
pow! She has a... doesn't this happen sometimes, Drew? You get that infection and, your lid gets kind of swollen up.
There's all kinds of things can cause. It's called periorbital edema. There's a lot of stuff can do that.
So she needs to do what?
She needs to see a doctor. That can be anything from kidney failure. Really?
Yeah.
One
eye, huh?
Well, that's when you lie down, that's where fluid starts to accumulate.
In your eyes, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if you sleep on your back?
Yeah, same.
Oh, really?
And so she needs to see somebody right away. If she's somebody doing a lot of drugs, God only knows what's going on.
I told her my plan about forcing my kids to learn to sleep on their back.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest you do that with your three kids. Can you do that?
They seem to already sleep on their back.
They do?
Jordan doesn't. The other two do.
Well, you got to get over there and roll him over or put some kind of spike strip on his forehead or something.
What was the purpose of this again?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because people that sleep on their back have a huge advantage in life.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Pray tell why.
Well, because I sleep on my face with my elbows underneath my actual face.
And your arms fall asleep every night, of course.
Well, not only that, but I wake up with these red forearm marks across my cheeks because I don't make contact with the pillow. I make contact with my forearms, right?
Mm.
But when you're used to sleeping on your face and you got a 5-hour plane flight where you're supposed to get some sleep,
Yes.
You are flipped over.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to work that good.
Right.
You can relax, you can recline, but you can't sleep because you sleep on your face.
Yeah.
And think about all those different places. Like just once in a while you're going on, you're 18, you're going on a cross-country trip, you're in the back of your buddy's VW. Every time you sleep, it's on your back when it's in a place other than your bed, and all of that is nullified if you sleep on your face.
Yep.
So if you learn to sleep on your back, you're really in great shape. We got the world by the tail.
You
got to
get that deviated septum fixed, though, because you are never sleeping on your back with that thing going.
I start snoring when I sleep on my back.
You can't breathe, yeah.
I can. I just leave my mouth hanging open.
Yeah, and your mouth dries out like Sahara Desert after 5 minutes, and you wake up, right?
No, I hang it open when I sleep on my stomach, too.
Not as bad, though. Not as bad.
I don't know. I open my mouth. That's how I breathe. So I get air. That's why it's fun to eat with me.
I know.
Warthog. Lisa?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or Lisa.
Lisa?
Yeah.
Lisa,
yeah.
What's up?
Nothing much.
All right.
I actually had a question about sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he sexually harasses me. I've lived with him for about 7 months.
Your dad does?
Yeah, he's actually my stepdad.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
And why have you been living with him? He just moved in?
Well, my parents are truck drivers, and, they worked for the phone company, and they've been trying to raise enough money to get me and my brother to live with them. And
where were you living before that?
I was living with my grandmother.
Okay, maybe I ought to get back with her.
They won't let me. I have no contact with her until I'm 18.
With your grandmother?
Yeah. They don't like her very much.
Why?
Because she tried to help me, and they're psychotic.
Why can't you figure out a way to get some support or some way to get away? It seems like you should be able to make a case if they're being that inappropriate with you.
Well, I called Child Protective Services.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they came, and they investigated, and my dad told them that it would stop and that it was just a game. And the case was closed about a week ago.
You call him your dad, but you mean your stepdad.
Well, yeah, I call him dad. Wow. I mean, my real dad pretty much disowned me.
At what age?
12.
12? Why? What happened to him?
You're only 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an alcoholic, and he kicked me out because he thought that I was smoking pot and everything, which I was, but he didn't know that until kicked me out.
Well, you make a very compelling argument. I thought I was smoking weed. Of course I was. You make a great, trial lawyer, wouldn't you?
Politician, what are you talking about?
Well, what can you do, you know?
This, Your Honor, the prosecution would say that my client is guilty, which he is.
You are found guilty as charged.
All right, so there, Lissa, your family sounds like just hillbilly, albino, white trash.
Clear, translucent.
Oh, my God. I'd like to, if I could find out where they were, I'd like to call in an airstrike, but I'm scared to take out the entire truck stop. Jesus Christ.
And
what
what's
a bunch of idiots.
And is grandma your dad's mom? Your real dad's mom?
No, that's my mother's mom.
And you can't have any contact with her?
Right.
That doesn't seem right to me.
And you live with your stepdad alone?
No, him and my mom.
And
actually, they're not home. They're home about once or twice a week, if that.
And is your stepdad's the truck driver?
They both are, my mom and my dad.
Yeah, I know, but you say you're... I know, but it's turn your turn. Hold on a second. You understand the confusion about calling somebody your dad when you're 15 and your biological dad was on the scene for 12 out of your 15 years, and it's your stepdad that's molesting you?
Stepfather.
You can't keep saying, my dad, mom, my dad, mom, my dad, mom, because there's a dad. This is
there's
stepdad.
A real dad,
Stepfather.
Lisa, please, just for tonight, you got to do the stepdad, real dad thing.
Okay, no problem.
Your stepdad and your mom are the truck drivers who are out on the road a lot.
And they leave you at home, and Child Protective Services has no problem with that.
Well, they rent. They hired a nanny.
All right. And does the nanny help you deal with this?
Yeah, she helps a lot because I've been grounded for 7 months now.
Even what?
And
grounded.
Why?
Because they caught me for every little bad thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Heroin, cocaine, marijuana,
prostitution,
prostitution,
white slavery.
What is it your stepdad is doing to you?
Well, he grabs my breast and he,
perfectly
the
normal,
other day.
Perfectly healthy. Yes.
The other day he was talking to me. He's like, you know, if we had sex, it wouldn't be a problem because I'm not your biological dad.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And like, he just like grabs me in inappropriate places.
Come here and give me a hug.
Hold on, Drew. Drew is starting to get a feeling like Lissa is a problem child who's manufacturing a lot of crazy stuff, whose parents are really just trying to rein her in and get a hold of her.
Parents are no angels, getting me wrong, but that she's really building the case here. She's creating drama.
Yeah, what's wrong with stepdad cutting a slice every once in a while? He's out on the road.
Saying that, and
he's working hard.
And
he's living off one of those sandwich makers that plugs into a cigarette lighter.
And I bet what happened is, and not that it's, you know, not that she shouldn't feel this way, but I bet he did grab her inappropriately once, and then ever since now, it's all right. Now we're building the case. And every little illusion
I don't know. Lissa.
Yeah.
You got a strange combination between being mature and intelligent and sort of a...
diabolical.
Yeah, chaotic all at the same time.
Well, I'm not a problem child anymore. I mean, I was, but...
Okay, are you... Okay, so you already had Child Protective Services out there, and they said that they couldn't really prove anything.
Well, he admitted it.
All right, he admitted it. So here's the deal. If he does this again, then you call them again.
But then I'll get in loads of trouble, and I'm scared crapless of him.
What do you mean loads of trouble?
What?
What do you mean loads of trouble?
He promised me that next time he's back, he would beat me.
Well, what can your mom do about this?
My mom sits and watches. She doesn't do jack.
Okay. And you can't get back with your grandparents, and your dad, your biological dad, is a mess.
Yeah.
Do you have other brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother who is having problems in his life right now and can't put up with having me around.
Hold on.
Shocking.
Shocking.
Shocked.
Shocked.
So I think you've got to build a case. I think she does have to call Child Protective Services repeatedly, and you have to find a way to get out of that house if that's your goal and get to the grandma who seems to have been helpful.
Yeah.
And let her smoke pot and do drugs.
All right.
And, which I bet you the reason the grandma was such a wonderful
Okay, wife. I'm caught in between. I got a final parting shot for you, Lissa, though. Listen to me.
Yeah.
You understand? I have all the answers, so just listen.
Don't get pregnant.
Okay. You need to do a couple of things. You need to put a lock on your bedroom door.
They won't let me.
Okay.
They will not let me. I mean, it locks, but they have the thing to unlock it, and
well, you need to put. Impossible. You need to devise something so that when you go to bed at night, no one can. You won't open your eyes up and have this guy on top of you while you're in bed. I understand. I don't know if it's wedging a slipper under the door or putting a bunch of beer cans piled in front of the door. Whatever it is, you need to do something with your door when you go to bed at night. Okay? Number two, call Child Protective Services again if this guy does anything, and don't worry about it.
The thing is, he did. As soon as the case closed, he started up again.
Well, you got to call him.
Then you call him again. You call him again.
I'll die. They will kill me.
No, they won't know.
They won't know. They weren't going to know last time, though, and that's the thing. They did find out because they came.
Yeah, but you tell them all that, and you tell the caseworker, if this guy kills me, it's going to be on 60 Minutes.
That's right. When you talk about it on the radio, there's a record of it.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
And number 3, 4, and 5, stay in school, go far away, go off to college, and do not get pregnant and like to kill the parents. And Drew.
Here, it's yours.
No. Don't. Just, we're going, let me go to break, please.
Oh, it's good.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Paul, who's 19. Paul?
Hey, Drew. What's up?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey.
What's happening?
Not much. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning down here.
Ooh.
Yeah, good old HFS.
19, yeah. We love that HFS.
Yeah, I was disappointed you guys haven't been going to the HF Festival.
No. We need to make a point of that.
I beg
really
to go every year, and true. I'll tell you the problem. The HF Festival, which is the huge sort of a granddad of them all, it's big compilation concerts that they have at our affiliate in Washington, D.C., I went to the first couple when we were on the air over there, but now they take place, I think, in May. Is that true, May or June?
Yeah, they do a summer one and a winter one now.
It's usually like the same weekend.
Seems early summer.
Same weekend as the other ones we have to.
End of May, beginning of June, something like that. Whatever it is, the last 3 years I've been in production of the Man Show during that, and it's just such a bitch getting out of town when we film 2 shows on a Friday night.
Yeah.
It's so hard to go. What do? Fly to D.C. Saturday morning and then come back and do the radio show the next night? And it's and then we're filming stuff on the weekends and stuff. So that's my excuse. But I did have a great time out there, especially when I ate a ton of soft shell crab with Trip Reeve, the general manager out here, and vomited all night. And he yelled at me on the plane on the way out there for making fun of Mountain Dew, calling it Nectar of the Tarts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got issues with that, too. So.
Yeah. All right there, Paul.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the deal. I'm supposed to be getting married this Friday.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
My fiance is 31 years old, has 2 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to, I ship out with the Navy middle of April.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
No, I love her. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just wanted to know what your take on the whole thing is. You know, you guys usually have good instincts with stuff like this.
Well, I mean, about you being away?
Well, I mean, about me being away.
What's the rush? You're 19. Why are you rushing to get married?
Well, I love her.
Okay, I understand you love her. What's the rush to get married?
And I'm joining the Navy, and I want to, you know, be able to bring her with me instead of having her sit here at home. I mean, she's living with her parents right now.
She's going to go to Korea and watch you bang whores?
Where is it you're going to be stationed?
I don't understand.
Well, after I get out of basic, I'm going to be down in Texas.
And so you can only take her if you're married to her?
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Well, I mean, look, if he had some money, he could take her up and set her up and everything, but obviously he doesn't. And so there's a little bit of a strategy. It's sort of like the green card thing, keeping someone in the country.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, well, here's my deal. I can hear in your voice that you're a stable guy, and that you would be faithful to this woman and stay with her and all that. My only question is she chaotic?
Yeah. Who is she is the question.
She has a couple of kids. She's 31. That's not the kiss of death, but is she a chaotic person who comes from a chaotic background, or did she just have a marriage that didn't work out and is looking to settle down?
Lots of drama?
Well, actually kind of both. She is divorced. Her ex-husband was Air Force. And her father's alcoholic and abusive. You know, I want to get her and the kids out of that situation.
Rescue that,
Paul. I had this. You know what? My vibe from the first syllable of Paul's call was, Paul's naive and Paul's a steady guy.
Rescue.
Not the sharpest implement in the shed, but a steady, solid guy. And this chick is chaotic. And now I'm worried. I'm worried that she's chaotic. And she's got two kids, and he's going to get right in the middle of that tornado.
Well, all right. There's big tornadoes and little tornadoes, are you? So,
okay.
Hope this one's not bad.
We'll be back. Hey, these are our boys, right? System of a Down.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Yeah, they're there.
Mugga, 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 mugga. Yeah, that's a good song. That's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam, and you're you, and let's talk to you on the phones. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yes, you're 17. What's up there?
I have a question. I was wondering why I don't enjoy sex.
You sound like 9.
Has there been trouble in the past?
No.
Adam, trouble in the past?
No.
What'd you say?
I don't know. I just want to see if you're going to throw up.
I did belch.
Foster Brooks here.
Hey, Sarah?
Yeah?
You got a big lollipop in your mouth right now?
No.
Okay. You've had two sexual partners.
Uh-huh.
You've not enjoyed it.
No.
Have they been relationships?
No.
There's just sort of hookups.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that may be part of the problem, huh? I know the Cosmo tells you that's supposed to be a good thing, but most women don't find that particularly gratifying, particularly at your age.
Well, because I have a friend, and she enjoys it very much, and I was wondering, if there's something wrong with me.
She probably tells you she enjoys it more just because you don't, because that's the nature of woman, evil. But
and some women just do like this, but most don't like the hookups. They find more satisfaction, again, particularly your age, with the relationship. And it's very hard if you figure out your whole sexual apparatus with someone you don't even know.
Do you get along with your dad?
No.
Well, there we go. That's strike two.
Any problems? Did he abuse you?
Father.
Did
no, he doesn't. I just don't get along with him at all.
How come?
Because he used to be an alcoholic, and then he went to jail for a while because of it, so...
Because of alcoholism?
Yeah.
When he gets drunk, he likes to beat people.
Drinking and driving?
Yeah.
He had a few offenses?
Uh-huh.
All righty. And, so you got issues with your dad... You sound like Dad. You've grown up in a house where Dad was doing a lot of drinking, but never did anything bad to you.
No.
And no neighbors or nobody else touched you or did anything inappropriate with you?
Not that I know of.
And no one hit you or struck you?
No.
You were never beaten or...
No.
No.
Okay, baby. Well, that...
Definitive answers.
Yeah.
Convincing.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Also, I don't enjoy oral either.
Okay.
Listen, but you've got this traumatic past that you haven't dealt with. You have yet to have a relationship. You're trying to engage in sexual acts with people you don't really know. I think a reasonable place to start would be to have a relationship. Unfortunately, you're going to pick an alcoholic to have that relationship with.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, somebody who you can sort of spend time with and get to know. And date around a little bit and don't jump in the sack with anyone until you find someone that you really feel like you want to know.
All right. There, Sarah.
And then when you find that person, kind of work it out and communicate to him what it is you do or don't
want. And don't sweat it so much. Yeah. You're just a lot of women at 17 claim to... get a lot of satisfaction and enjoyment out of sex, but a lot of them are lying.
And some do, but a lot do not.
Some do, and some don't.
You're right. And it troubles me very much that when women don't measure up to a Cosmo standard,
yeah.
they feel inadequate. Something's wrong with them.
Yeah.
When that's most of them right now at that age.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I was just in a 7-Eleven the other day looking at the news rack with all those magazines.
Yeah.
And every single magazine had some sort of sexual trick to try on your man.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've never run into any of those women, by the way, who read the Cosmo magazine about shoving the block of ice up my ass and then giving me the most incredible oral I've ever had. I don't know why. They seem to read the articles where they're dissatisfied in the relationship and not enjoying their femininity in the workplace, but they...
Why they can't have an orgasm.
And why they can't have an orgasm. Oh, that one is clipped out and put on the fridge. But the part about giving your man the most incredible orgasm he's ever had, that they seem to skim over. But every single one of them had some sort of trick about how to drive your man wild. And I do think when 16, 17-year-old chicks read that, whose sexuality hasn't really kicked in yet.
Yeah.
And as guys, it's a biological thing. We've talked about this before. 13, 14, as soon as that first pube hits and the voice starts cracking,
pow.
Game on. Especially when you're a passionate, passionate man like Drew. But with women, why do you ease into it to the point where you're not really even that into it until you're out of high school?
Sometimes
out of college.
Absolutely.
So don't question yourself.
Don't rush. Don't feel bad about just what your sexual metronome is. But even what's more interesting is, you know guys, right, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
If some of these things really were important to guys,
mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't you think they'd have them cataloged and registered and have a little printout to hand the women when they came into the bedroom?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys could give a rat's ass about any of these things. And most of them, by the way, include having a finger up the ass, which is just a completely wrong thing to do. I mean, not pleasant for most men.
I know.
I mean, men are thinking about that stuff all the time. If it's something important to them, they'd check right in. They'd be all about it.
Let me
you never find a guy endorsing that crap.
Let me say this, not you personally, Drew, because you're very satisfied in your relationship, but I'll speak for every other man. Andrew, you tell me if I'm lying.
Right.
Most guys that have been in a long-term relationship would gladly substitute the, you know, all those tricks. Get in some lingerie and greet him at the door. Have a glass of brandy. Put some music on. Then once in the bedroom, start off with a scalp massage and work your way into a four-finger insert into the rectum. Most any guy would trade all of that nonsense with the hot bath and the whole shoulder massage thing, for just one semi-decent homeless chick who he could bang missionary in the driveway and get away with it one time. Am I right? Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to know what the real trick is, ladies? Grow a new vagina. That's the only tip, because all of that, greet your man at the door and be wearing something skimpy, we've been looking at you naked for 10 years now. That's something skimpy, that ain't doing it.
But that is all stuff that women like
that's,
to think of that, themselves in that role.
Yes.
Men could give a rat's ass.
Women and homos write this for other women, and somebody actually believes it's true, and it's not. I've never met a guy that's...
Ever.
We like the idea of all this stuff, except for it's the same chick we left when we left the house that morning. It's her.
Yeah, but
if it was a new chick, we'd be cool with it.
Some guys are really into their girl, and that's fine.
Right.
But that's where they want to be, is in.
The ones
you
that are
I mean?
Into their
girls?
That's
it.
Right. We want to bang them on the sofa while the TV is on. We don't need...
We talk to men all day long, right, on this show?
Yes. No, you don't need any of that.
No, please.
Thank you.
All right.
You know what one of those articles say? Look, you want to know how to satisfy your man?
We've never talked about this. This is ridiculous.
We've talked about this.
But not like this. Not.
Okay, ladies, you want to know how to satisfy your man? You've been in a relationship for a while. Things are getting a little stale sexually. Have sex with them, and then don't talk for 3 hours. Just shut up. No complaining for a week. That's what they are. I like to write an article in Cosmo. No complaining for a week. Just shut up for a whole week.
Especially about men sleeping or eating after sex.
Let him leave his underpants on the living room floor. Let him watch television and let him have sex with no complaints.
Then just shut up.
Thank you, Drew. Sam?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I was molested when I was little, and I have a problem with getting a girlfriend now. And it's kind of hard.
What happened? How old were you? What happened?
Well, I was 8 years old, and my sister's cousin, I don't know, we just started messing around. I didn't know what I was doing, but a couple years later, I realized what that was.
Hang on a second. You were how old?
8.
And it was your sister?
My sister's cousin.
Sister's How is that not your cousin?
Well, she's my half-sister. We have different dads, and
I
it's
see.
Her dad's sister's kid.
I see. So, all right.
Was it a male or a female?
It was a girl.
And she was how old?
A couple years older.
So she was like 10.
Yeah, 10 or 12.
What exactly did you get into there?
We tried to have sex, but when you're 8, you can't really do that, you know?
And this was sort of her directing you to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. So she'd been abused by an adult, no doubt. Or another child who'd been abused
by an
adult.
I don't know, but I know she's schizophrenic, so...
Yeah. All right. Well, she's got problems, and anyway.
Now I got problems, too.
Yeah. Well, hold on now.
You know, you guys are a little freaked out by this. They give them anxiety, and, you know, it's overwhelming at that age. They can't process it.
Yeah. You pansy!
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not
pansy. Were you freaked? Were you freaked out at the time?
Was I freaking? I just thought it was weird.
You thought it was weird, and I know Drew's going to make an argument here, but I would also argue that if you're traumatized, but you don't know you're traumatized, then were you traumatized?
Just assume
well, because
here's what I'm
people
saying.
You can be traumatized and not remember it, right?
Oh yeah. I would just make the case
usually not at 8 or 9.
Let's just make this. It lays down some wiring that wouldn't otherwise be normally laid down.
Okay,
can you agree with me on that one, Adam?
I can agree that this did not help you emotionally. I can also say that, first, it was a female, so that's a definite help. Secondly, she wasn't 26. She was a couple years older than you. And thirdly, you didn't actually do it with her.
Right.
There was some attempt. And there are also many guys that have been through this, many people have been through this, that are not permanently screwed up by it.
Well, so he has some overwhelming feelings now attached to this that he needs to get over.
Right.
That he should be quite able to get through.
That's what I'm saying, Sam. Yeah. We don't want to be enablers here.
I'm not even wondering if that's it or not. I'm just wondering if that could affect it at all.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But see, Drew, why give him something to... Why give him something to hang a dream on? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Drew and I would both agree that we would not wish this for our 8-year-olds.
Right.
But it was a female. She was 10. You were 8. And you should get past this. As a matter of fact, a lot of guys may have actually, I wouldn't say enjoy it, but look at it as somewhat of a feather in their young cap. To actually have some contact with somebody at some point in their life. I know I
felt
that.
Again, let's not perpetuate those cultural myths about this. It affects the brain development. It's natural.
Not a great thing.
Anxiety, he needs to learn to manage that anxiety and get out.
All right, but that, it means that there's a bigger problem in my opinion.
Now I'm kind of wondering if I'm bi or not, because me and I got a best friend. We've been friends for like 3 or 4 years, and he just told me he was bi.
Yeah, I don't believe him now.
You don't believe me?
Yeah, I just stopped believing him.
I'm still with you.
You don't believe me.
I'm still with you, Sam.
Dude, you don't believe anyone.
No, I'm still with you. I know why he doesn't believe you. I get what he's cluing into here.
Well. You are a bare-faced liar.
Go ahead.
All right, well, we were on some drugs at the time, and I don't know, we started messing around, and I don't know, eventually I just kind of, you know, figured out, well, I could be bi, but I couldn't. I didn't like this, but I could still be bi, and I don't know, everything's messed up.
What drugs were you on?
Cough syrup.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, Sam, you got there's some issues going on in your life.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Oh, man.
Work on those issues, but I wouldn't focus solely on the incident that happened with your cousin when you were 8.
I would time out for Sam, as far as I'm concerned. Sam, these drugs you're doing, they're going to make the anxiety worse, the social phobias worse. The side effects of these medicines on your brain is that they can intensify anxiety and mood disturbances. So you're working against yourself there. You're experimenting in areas that are confusing you more. Just like about a 2-year time out here. Focus on your school, get out of your house, establish a life at college, and then start experimenting again.
Yeah.
Not now.
Time out for Sam sounds like a kid's book.
Yeah. Well, I could see a little Dr. Seuss sort of.
Dr. Drew, noted author of Time Out, the Time Out for Sam series.
Yes.
He wrote Time Out for Sam, Time Out for Sam again, Time Out for Sam.
Could you with a girl? Could you with a...
Cousin?
Squirrel.
Well, what rhymes with cousin? Okay. Listen, all of you, start focusing on being geeks in high school like Drew and go off to bigger and better things. I really mean it. I never thought I'd be telling people to do this, but start studying, stop effing so much, and just go off to college, and then get high and start screwing around.
It's a lot different.
Once you've actually been accepted.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
It's a lot different experimenting in college than in high school. It's a lot different.
Well, here's the problem, too. A lot of our listeners and callers treat high school like it was college.
Right.
And college is the time that people tell you about, well, they started experimenting with drugs, and they started drinking more, and they started having, you know, casual sex and so on and so forth. But they were 18, 19, 20, and they had somewhat of an adult mind, and they could handle it.
Just the mind development. I mean, the physical development was different.
Yeah, they could go out and screw some dorm mate and drink a 12-pack of beer and still make class on Monday morning. Or at least they could wrestle with it a little bit. But if you treat high school like it's that, if you're doing all that in high school, then here's what happens. You get thrown out when you're 16 and a half. You take the GED and you end up working in a Der Wiener Schnitzel for the rest of your life. Once you make it into college, you got a little F around room. All right, so you get on academic probation, you take a semester off or something, you pull it together and go back. But if you screw it up before that, you ain't never getting in. And you start using words like ain't. Okay, let's talk to Angie.
Hi.
Hey, Angie.
Okay, my name is Angie, and my question is that I like this guy, and we used to go out, and we decide, and we're, like, trying to figure out if we should have sex or not.
How old is he?
He's, I think, 16.
49?
17.
Okay, 17. All right. And so
now,
what are you asking us?
Okay, well, I've always wanted to have sex with a person and then, like, be with them for a long time.
That's a worthy goal.
Yeah, but we broke up, and we still really like each other. Well, I think he likes me. I like him.
Angie, he wants to have sex with you. Just get that through your head. That's what he's interested in, period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah, so I'm trying to decide. He said that if we have sex, then we'll probably get back together.
No, don't believe that.
Okay.
No.
True. No way. Come on. There's no way. If he were into her, he'd be into her, and that'd be that.
But yeah. He's having problems at home and with stuff like at school and
look,
grades.
Look, that's all excuse. That's
what
all
are you in the ninth grade?
I'm in ninth grade, yeah.
Mm. All right, so eighth grade?
Ninth.
Well,
geez, I swear she said eighth.
It sounded that way.
You're in the ninth grade, and he's in the what grade?
He's a junior.
All right, so he's in the 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your question for us?
Well, I'm just trying to decide if I should or shouldn't have sex with him.
You want us to decide for you?
Well, no, but I'm just confused.
Have you ever had sex with him?
I've never had sex, period.
You're a virgin.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, this is not going to be gratifying for you. You only can lose your virginity once. As Drew would always tell me, you can only bust your hymen once. Twice if you see one of the doctors that was on this show that does vaginal reconstructive surgery. Yeah. And this ain't the guy. He's a screwball. He's having trouble at home. And just save it for the guy you're in love with and in a relationship with, okay?
And save it till you're like at least 16, really. At your age, this age, I think you want to know, this up here on our screen, it says, is it wrong? Is that what your question is? Is it wrong?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. You know, wait. It's not wrong, but it's not healthy for you.
It's actually the one that told me to ask you guys this question.
Angie, it's bad for you. It's unhealthy
strategy.
For you. Yeah, I know. It's unhealthy for you. It's not going to work for you. It's not wrong. Not right or wrong. I have no opinion whether it's better or right or wrong, but it's not going to work. It's not going to be a good thing for you.
Maybe he was bluffing. You know, like once in a while when you know you're wrong.
Yeah.
But you get all, you got a lot of bravado, and you go, hey, call the cops. Yeah. Call them. Here's the phone. Call them. Now, if they actually call the cops, they come over and arrest you. But because you hand them a phone and beg them to call them, you figure they're not going to do it. He probably did this with, call Drew and Adam.
They'll tell you.
I'll be nude with an erection on the upper bunk on my bed that's shaped like a race car. Drew, why don't they make those race car beds for adults? I'd buy one of those in a heartbeat.
Oh, I know you would. In fact, I'm surprised you haven't had one made.
I really should.
Fiberglass.
I really should stretch out that. I like that. I'm scared, though, like the airbag would go off in the middle of a spirited masturbation session or something.
Now it's some sort of, you know, magazine. Adam Carolla lives in Adam Carolla's bedroom.
Cribs. Yeah. If anyone listens to me that manufactures beds, I know once you become an adult, like when you're a kid, they're very obsessed with the novelty aspect of beds. Those bunk beds and the race car beds and all the crazy sheets and everything with all the characters.
Wow.
But then they stop making them so they don't fit on king and queen size beds. I say there's a market for that.
That's when they can really cash in, too. Think what you'd pay for that, Adam.
I'd probably pay as much as I'd pay for a car.
Where's the...
And it's a car bed, for Christ's sake.
Where's the woman that sent us these chairs? We're sitting in these chairs that a woman sent us like 5-6 years ago. They've just changed our life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't heard from her. I bet they make beds there.
Somebody come up with the adult car bed, all right? And I'd like an adult bunk bed, too. King-size bunk bed.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where I hop up. Every night, even though I live alone, I tap the upper bunk, and I frolic to it, and I jump up on it and tap it. You know what I mean?
Flip down from, get up there and flip down from the top to the bottom.
That's right. I do that. I do that gymnastic thing where I hang on to the railing and kick my feet over and do a somersault. And then every once in a while, I hang my head off and I keep all my stuffed animals on the first one. And I go, Penny for your thoughts. And I laugh and I go back up top to my bed. I would like a king size bunk bed in the shape of a car. Two car beds stacked on top of each other, like a double-decker bus.
Oh.
Well, okay. No, I'm serious. I would buy the car bed. And there's a lot of irresponsible adults with extra income that would do this. A lot of single guys, a lot of bachelors with a sense of humor. Everyone we have on this goddamn show would buy one.
Mm-hmm.
All these rock stars and everything. Have a, you know, racing stripes and numbers and stuff on there.
They could sell the sheets and everything to go with it.
Speed racer sheets. Okay, I'm getting excited.
Oh, boy.
You know the problem with those car beds? You can't hide stuff under them.
And it's on the right on the floor.
Yeah, as an adult, you need a place to throw the porn and the vibrators and this velvet handcuffs.
Maybe the adult one could really sit on wheels.
Oh, put a lift kit on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, put like a Adelief and put like a 3-4-inch lift kit on it.
Yeah.
Jack it up so you're up against the ceiling. Okay, good times. Yeah, I got a 4-wheel drive car bed. Got a lift kit on it and a roll bar. Yeah, but if a lady would see that, she'd be impressed.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, man, would you have action there?
It leaks semen, but other than that, it's a good runner. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ex-pop sensation Tiffany in here tomorrow night.
Have we ever met her?
I met her on Howard Stern a couple of weeks ago.
We had Debbie Gibson on.
We did? Oh, that's right. Yeah, we went and saw her play.
Yeah.
And that must have been 2-3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiffany coming in, I guess she's in Playboy now. I saw the Playboy. Looks good.
Ow!
Yeah. And I guess she's doing music.
All right.
No one sells a guest like us, Drew. I'll tell you what. Hey, at least it's not our usual. Who are those guys?
There were autograph hounds out here tonight thinking she was coming tonight.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those spastic guys. You know, the only thing worse than the autograph spazzes that hang out trying to get autographs, and if anyone's in a Playboy, that's a coveted autograph for them.
Yeah. Especially a cover, it seems like.
Yeah. If somebody's on the cover of Playboy, or even in a Playboy, if they can get that signed, apparently it's worth another $150 on eBay. But you know what the thing... now, what did I call those guys? There was a cross between maybe geek and nerd, or tard and geek, or pain and nerd, or something like that. They take great offense to that. They take great offense. When I come out to my car, they're pissed off that I called them. But look there, fellas. You're hanging out front getting Tiffany's autograph on the Playboy that you're going to sell for, newsstand is $6.95, but they can get it for $8 on eBay. What's going on with the life at this point? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's a hobby.
No, it's not a hobby.
No?
It's an attempt to make money.
Really?
Yeah. And these people have ruined it for the people who do it as a hobby and, or who want it for legitimate reasons, because a lot of the celebrities that come in here say that they ignore these people now and they're kind of pissed off at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wait out front of the nice hotels in New York and Los Angeles. They're out front of the trendy restaurants. And when you come out, they want you to sign it. Mm-hmm. But it's not make it out to them or their brother. It's just sign this 3x5 card.
Yeah.
And now a lot of the guys are going, screw you. And now celebrities are getting a rap for being that way.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, you'd know if you had to do it. I have to do it all the time, Drew.
Oh, it must be a lot of fun.
Horrible inconvenience. Yeah. Horrible. You ever sign an autograph, Drew? You ever done that?
A what?
It's where you put your name on something, but it's not a contract or anything. It's just for fun.
What?
Well, I think graph means draw or write or something.
Well, you said something about if people are in Playboy. Now, you and I were in Playboy, but nobody ever asked me to sign anything.
Yeah, we did a simulated guy-on-guy. Okay, we were in Playboy?
I did the 20 questions.
Thing. Oh, Drew. Big Drew did it. And what I do, get half a question at the end?
Yeah, but you did some other stuff in there since.
Oh, I think I got... Yeah. We did an interview, and me and Jimmy did one in Playboy, I think. Anne?
Yes?
You're 20?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I've been with my boyfriend for a year, and we met back in a year, and we moved in together like a month after we met.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 months later, we found out I was pregnant.
3 months later, okay.
Yeah. And he wanted me to get rid of it, and I didn't. And I told him that he could leave if he wanted, and I'd take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to stay.
Mm.
But since then, he's been very distant, and he's been kind of a really hard to get along with.
Yeah.
And I've made up my mind that I'm going to end the relationship, but we live together, and I can't pay the bills without him being here. And I was wondering if us being, like, roommates, is that going to be detrimental on my daughter? Or because I have a baby. I had her 7 weeks ago.
Well, the bad part, really, the first bad part, and I think the most important bad part, is that she's going to get attached to this guy, and then he's going to leave. So unless he plans to stick around permanently, not necessarily living with you, but a regular part of her life, I mean daily.
Yeah.
It's probably not a great idea if he's going to be checking out. In terms of the potential for conflict, this is a bad situation. These are bad boundary situations. I mean, you have sort of a dual relationship, and you know, your roommates and your ex-lover, and that's sick. That doesn't work.
Yeah. This is doomed, and this is why poor people shouldn't have kids or get hooked on heroin or coke. Or when you're poor, and then you have some extra
stress problem,
almost expense, you end up having to do stuff you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You end up living with people you don't want to live with. You end up having relationships with people you don't want to have a relationship with because he's good for $650 a month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got to get these things sort of clarified.
Do you have any place you can go?
Yeah, I have my dad.
Well, what about it?
Listen, you sound like you're resistive to everything you're saying. If you don't want to hear these things, don't ask the questions. But
true, please.
Will you hear the resistance?
Nah.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Know. Well, she's confused.
I know, but...
What about your dad? Does he have a room you could stay in?
Yes, he does. He has my old room. It's full of stuff right now, but yeah, he has my old room.
Where's your mom?
Oh, my mom died when I was young.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Is there any problem going back with Dad?
No, my dad and I have had a great relationship.
Okay. Go back with Dad.
Go back with Dad and bring your kid with you.
And I know it's sort of humiliating and defeating, but it's all right. It's all right.
Stay in that room.
It's a healthy choice.
Get back on your feet. You're only 20.
Yeah.
Give yourself a year, get it together, and then you start dating and everything, all right?
All right, so it won't... Okay, that's just one
thing. It's not going to work with him living there.
Wait a minute. It won't what?
Well, I just heard that a lot of the stuff about daughters growing up without their dads, and I'm worried about that, too.
Yeah, but the worst thing is her establishing a relationship with him and him leaving.
Yeah, there's people I know who grew up where their dad was just never in the picture, and they seemed much better off than the alcoholic dad or the disappointing dad or the dad who drifted in, disappointed them, and then left or showed up for their birthday once a year. That ended up being worse.
If he is not willing to be in her part of her life from now on every day, which he's not. He's told you he wanted you to get an abortion, for God's sakes. He's not in this.
Right.
Don't do this. Don't do this to the child. She will find other male figures to attach to, and you can help her do that.
Drew, your room at your parents' house. What is it now? Is it a shrine?
No, it's just a... I never really lived in that house. They're in a...
Oh, they're in another house?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
It's a room we use for the Rose Parade, because they live in the Rose Parade around, so I pack my kids in there every New Year's Eve.
So your room... Now, how long did your parents live at your house after you left it? This is how I test families, decide whether I hate them or not. I burn like a volcano inside when I hear about these people. They go, oh, no, yeah, I grew up in a suburb of Chicago. I go back and stay at home a couple days a week around the holidays. I'm talking to guys in their 30s.
Yeah.
Room's exactly the same as the day I left it for college. I just think, oh, my room was a service porch when I was living in it. Now I got there's 22 gypsies living in my room.
Yeah, but look at that beautiful kitchen and living area you live in now. That great picture window and
where I live.
Kitchen we live now.
Oh, I live now.
What you've done to your living space? You made it a shrine.
Yeah, but
you've controlled your environment yourself.
Why? Yeah, why? I don't want to rest on my laurels. I'd rather complain about the past rather than relish your present. Do you see what I'm saying,
yes,
Drew?
Of course.
So you're not one of those people that has the same room.
No.
That.
They were gone about a year after I left college.
It freaks me out once in a while. You get a girlfriend or something that has that. You open the door and there's the stuffed animals and the bad wallpaper.
No.
And, you know, just as they left it kind of thing.
I don't think that's necessarily a good thing.
Well, I'm not talking about, you know, sort of creepy where you hear that twisted play music. La 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 la. I'm not that creepy stuff. I'm just talking about it is how they left it when they went to college.
Yeah.
And the parents are like, we're so happy, we're so adjusted, we're so much in love, and the house is so big that we feel no need. And plus, what if the person comes back for a couple days a year? They're going to want to stay in their own bed.
Yeah.
Oh. Did I ever show you my service porch?
No. I would love to see it. I've seen the house. I was kind of afraid to go in.
Not seeing the service porch.
No.
My mom can't stand when I do that.
Why? Should we show it to people?
Oh, she hates that.
This must be a crowning moment for you.
You make
sure she's home. Mom, you home? I'll be right over.
Showing people the dungeon I grew up in?
With your mom sitting right there. What does she say?
She don't let him in.
Oh, no.
She don't want to do it. She knows what it is.
What
she knows what I'm doing.
What does she say?
She don't go back there.
Well, what does she say? What's her...
I grew up on a service porch.
I understand, but what does she say? What does she...
I'm just telling this to the people who have possibly missed one show and not heard it. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, how did that song go that you sang earlier, Adam?
That
one?
My fairy tale song, When It Gets Scary. They start off like this. They start off nice. La 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 la. That's what happens. And the dolls start getting all out of focus, and they start talking. And
one of the eyes pops open.
That's right. The eyes pop open.
But listen, but what does your mom do, though, to defend herself when that's in that process? I go, we didn't have any money. I didn't want
to. No, yeah, yeah.
What did she say?
Well, look, we didn't have any money. It was a crappy little house. What are you going to do? It was not her fault.
Oh,
no, it was just... I had a room with a washing machine.
Did you bring the people in the kitchen and go, and here's with the freestanding dishwasher? What, didn't you have a dishwasher in the middle of the room or something? Or no dishwasher?
You want to make me cry? Here's what we had. Let me explain the Corolla home growing up. We're white, by the way. We're not refugees. We're not boat people. We had no dryer.
Right.
That was considered a crazy, extravagant item. No dryer. And not only did we not have a dryer, my grandparents who lived down the street had no washer or dryer, and my dad's shack in North Hollywood had no washer. Not a dryer between the three Corolla households.
In your grandparents' case, inexcusable.
No washer or dryer.
That was just to maintain the charade that they had no money.
My grandfather schlepped the laundry to the coin-op laundry thing for about 50 years. Twice a week for 50 years he schlepped
that
stuff.
So that's got to be some sort of ritual that he had to do.
When you think porn, you just think stupid. You just become stupid after a while. Okay, that was number one. My room had the electric meter in it. The meter.
For the gas meter.
The gas meter. No, the electric meter.
Because you had no gas.
No, we had gas. You're lucky I don't have gas tonight. No, Drew, it's the electric.
There's two meters, right? The gas meter.
I know, but I just said it had the electric meter in it. Do you got to go with the
Aren't
gas angle?
Side by side, though?
I don't know. All right, see, this is what's wrong with this show right here, Drew.
Right.
My room had the electric meter, the clear one with the wheel that goes around it, in the room, along with the washing machine and along with the water heater for the house. So, and the room, the layout of the room I went and measured it once. It was 11 and a half feet long by about 5.5 wide, but a lot of that was taken up by the washing machine, the meter, and so on and so forth. So my room used to be outside, used to be a porch, and that's how it got converted. That's why the meter was out there. So the meter reader would come into my bedroom. This is like, it's kind of like Green Acres, where he would have to climb the telephone pole. We had that guy... the meter reader be in my room while reading the meter once a month. Oh, good times.
We didn't finish with Anna here, did we?
No, and the washing machine we had was not a built-in one. It was a dishwasher that was on wheels.
Dishwasher on
wheels. You would have to go plug into the sink. They had like a jack, the one in the sink. You ever see one of these things?
A long time ago.
Tremendous waste of time.
A rail around the top?
Just a huge waste of time. Yeah. Anna?
And they kind of lift up. You lower stuff, drop stuff into it, don't you? It
doesn't. No, this had a regular flap door on it, but it just took up a bunch of space and was completely ridiculous.
Anna?
Yes?
Did you finish with us?
Well, you didn't quite.
Yeah, I never even talked to her.
Yes, we did.
I don't even remember.
The swollen eyes, the eyelids, all that stuff.
Well, we talked to her. Oh, I put her on hold like 1,000 years ago?
Because she had a radio on.
Oh, that was like an hour and a half ago.
All right. Yes, we did. I thought we were done with her.
Oh, yeah, I guess we were.
Oh, wait.
Hey, Anna?
Uh-huh.
You need to go to the doctor and see what it is, but it's not because of the drugs.
It cannot be drug-related.
Well, no, it can be. You can cause kidney failure. Are you doing cocaine?
No. I did ecstasy once in this time period.
Cocor.
What were you doing before that?
Nothing. Well, I've done it, I want to say, maybe 4 times in a year's time period.
All right. I'm thinking this is something unrelated to that.
Okay,
but definitely
if it was, I was going to tell the doctor, but if it's not, my husband's in the military.
Well, you need to give them every bit of information you can possibly give them. And if they ask, did you do any drugs?
All right, tell them if they ask. All right, everybody. And, you know, like I say, la 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 la. Yeah. And the doll, the eyes open all of a sudden.
It starts laughing.
But it doesn't move its lips. It's just the kid's laughter in the background.
Right.
Remember when all that kid stuff used to be really scary?
Well, that was just post-devil dogs, right? Because puppets were possessed then, right?
Yeah, but
it was the first Devil's Triangle, then it was the Devil in People, and then it was
Toys. You could do. What's going on with the show, Drew? But here's what I'm saying. You could do a scary movie, and all you needed was a room with some girls' dolls in it that wasn't lit too well. Then you open the door, and you cut to each doll's face, and you don't make their mouths move. You just put kids laughing underneath it. And then have one of their eyes open. Whoa, that's it.
It's a whole film.
You cannot just wet myself and had to leave the theater.
Still, it'll be great.
If I saw that when I was 13, I'd be like, scariest movie I've ever seen. Like, huh? That's why they had to post nurses. In each aisle, they had a nurse. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's get back to the phones. Speak to Jenna, who's 19. Jenna?
Hi.
Hey.
My question is, my boyfriend, he did mushrooms last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked his behavior while he was on them.
Sure.
And I was wondering if I should encourage him to continue to do them.
No, that's not really a good idea.
My main concern is, what are the long-term effects?
We don't know. It seems that essentially all the hallucinogens have properties that you would call brain damaging.
Uh-huh.
And presumably mushrooms is the same, that these chemicals that cause hallucinogenic experiences as their primary influence on the brain are associated with brain damage. So presumably mushrooms will be the same.
Mushrooms
don't do that much of mushrooms.
Yeah, they seem to be more benign than some of the other hallucinogens. But anyway, you slice it, doing it. Here's the thing about mushrooms. or any drug, when you really start getting on a serious schedule with it, it means there's problems.
Okay. There's also a problem that you would want your boyfriend to be loaded. That really is. Think how exploitative that is of him.
Well, really he's probably a pain in the ass and hounding her for sex otherwise.
I understand that he's a pain in the ass and probably she shouldn't be in this relationship with a guy that she doesn't like or who has no respect for her, but how exploitative of him is it that she's going to use him like a petri dish and just sort of dial in some behaviors that I like? That is not really dealing with him as a person.
Well, I've tried to, he has kind of like an anger problem, and so I've tried to get him to counseling and things like that, and actually I offered to go into like a group counseling session with him because he didn't want to pay for it, but I was doing
This is malignant codependency. Right. This is what happens when people make it their job to fix another person to the point where they're really willing to even monkey with their biology. This is why in my business, when I'm treating someone, mm-hmm. people will actually bring in, they'll bring their wife in for treatment, and then when they're in the middle of withdrawal, they'll bring drugs into them.
Wait a minute, I thought you were a roofer.
That's right.
What business are you talking about now?
That was my old job. But
you're doing composite shingle work.
No, and the addiction program I run. But people will bring their loved ones, whom they brought into treatment, drugs while they're in treatment. They need to keep them intoxicated or under the influence of the drugs because that's the only way they can deal with them.
So
no matter how bad it is for the person.
When I was talking to you about getting an estimate for some hot mopping and some flashing, you were actually a doctor that whole time?
Not the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Pretending part of it.
Way off. I got to start paying attention. Jeff?
Yes?
You're 35. You have the word I was looking for when I was talking about those autograph hounds?
I certainly do.
Yeah, it's a word I made up, but I can't remember it.
I laughed hysterically when I heard it. I never forgot it.
All right.
The word is splooser, a cross between a spaz and a loser.
Wow.
Good word.
Splooser. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
The guest you had was, I forget her last name, Angelica, hot redhead.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to scare us now, Jeff.
Yes. Splooser. Thanks. Yeah. Oh. I remember E-Guitard. But
don't do that when your girl's in bed. It's very naughty.
Yeah.
Wait till she leaves and then do it.
That was Angelica
Bridges?
Bridges, yeah, right. Yeah. She lives in that house I almost burnt down when I was in high school. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Splooser, right. Spaz
loser.
And loser.
E-Guitard.
Yeah. Splooser. I'd say that would. Those guys are kind of spazzes. Yeah, they're a loser, but they're spazzes too, right?
Splooser.
Well, they're not losers in the sense that, man, they're out on the street or they can't pay their bills. They're losers in the sense that they get people's autographs and then sell them on eBay for a living. And they're spazzes because there's a strong geek through line that runs through that entire family. Wouldn't you say, Drew?
Yeah.
Steve?
Hi. I just want to say I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, Steve. What's up?
Actually, you forgot one, too. You forgot about the jackhole.
Oh, well, jackhole's on.
Oh, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. Well, okay, my problem is I don't enjoy oral sex.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
And,
You want to know?
Well, Steve, Adam didn't hang up on you. I'm impressed.
Well,
there
I think
something alluring about you.
He wants advice about painless methods of suicide.
Oh,
is that correct?
Well, no, I mean, I want to enjoy it. My wife loves to give it, but I never finishes up that way.
We don't have to finish.
Drew doesn't finish that way, but he still enjoys it. Yeah, passionate man.
Well, she wants me to finish, and that, I don't know, I've never been into it.
Well,
can't you oblige her a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it ends up being painful sometimes.
Painful? Can you construct her so as it not be painful?
I've tried, and nothing seems to work.
Well, what's painful about it?
Well, I mean,
she's got a retainer?
No.
No?
She's a little older than that.
Dentures?
No, not that old.
Oh.
But,
Bridge? Okay.
No.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, when I was born, I had an undefended testicle, and that was removed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I read in, like, I think it was a men's journal that, you know, that could decrease sex drive, but
not likely.
You're fine.
And it certainly has nothing to do with oral sex, because if your sex drive were down, it'd be down for everything.
Are you ever think about the fellas?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You're gay.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's something.
I have when I was, like, 12 years old, mm-hmm. and, you know, experimentation.
Why don't you do what I do with my old lady. You tell her to put on some of those cop reflective sunglasses and a fake mustache and just a cop shirt. Doesn't have to put the trousers on. And put the cap on and then get down. And really give you a good tingly feeling down there.
Nah, that.
Okay. Well, look, Steve, here's what you need to do. You get yourself started through masturbation and have her just come in and mop up.
So to speak.
So to speak. Although I worry a little about Steve and his proclivity.
His experimentation. I don't know.
All right. All right, buddy. No more kids.
No.
If he has any.
Yeah.
If you have one, give it back. We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. Ex-pop sensation Tiffany in here tomorrow night. Current Playboy.
I'm not sure you should describe her that way tomorrow.
Ex-pop sensation?
Yeah, just pop sensation.
Well, I think you'd have to say X.
All right.
Yeah, and not Gen X. X. La, 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 la. All right. We'll take a little break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo. La 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 la.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.